Today we come back to follow on the series that we are doing, the Newness of Life series. For the past few weeks, we've been looking at how our adoption, God has actually, through Christ, we've been adopted into God's kingdom, okay? And how through this adoption, we have taken on God's nature, his identity as well. So through that, our God is loving, and therefore we also have to be loving. Our God is merciful, and therefore we also act in mercy and forgiveness. So all of these things, we know that the Lord has taken us into his kingdom. He's added us to his family, and that transforms our mind. It transforms our thinking. It transforms who we are as children of God. So that is what we've been looking at the moment. And today, I've called today's sermon being about the family business. Being about the family business. The reason why I said being about the family business is because Jesus, when he was young, at the age of 12, they went to Jerusalem and to observe the Passover. And they left him there. They didn't leave him there. He stayed in the temple and he was actually preaching. He was teaching some of them and he was being taught. And when his parents came back, they asked him that, you know, why did he stay there? He told them that, this is what he said in Luke 2:49. He told his parents, why do you seek me? Do you not know that I must be about my father's business? That's what he said. So for us as children of God, it is important for us to know that we've not been adopted into a kingdom or a family to just sit in the comforts of the palace. You know, there is much work to be done. There is something that we're involved in, something greater that the Lord has called us to do. So I see it as a family business that he has called us to be involved in the business. The family business is not like the usual business in this world where it's about profit making or giving services. This business is about the souls of men. It's about the souls of people. Okay? It's to bring healing to people. It's to bring restoration to life. It's about saving people from eternal damnation, for people to actually find their place and their identity in the kingdom. That is what the business is about, and that is what we have been called to do. And also this business as well, it's about making earth look more like heaven. Okay? Because if we are children of God and we belong to that kingdom, then we take on that identity. We take on the mandate of that kingdom. I've heard a preacher a few years ago. I was listening to this preacher, Miles Monroe. And what he said was that he said, Christians need to colonize earth. The point he made was that the reason why he said we need to colonize earth was that there's this dimension of colonization that transforms the place or the colony to look more like the nation that actually colonized it, that rules that place. That's the idea. And when, like in the time of the empire, when you go to a place in Ghana, this place is Jamestown. I mean, look at the building there. You think it's like a building here. You feel more at home during the empire than if you went to Japan. But this is in Ghana. Okay, look at that. It looks like somewhere here. And the idea behind it is that Christians are supposed to bring heaven's joy, heaven's peace. We're supposed to carry heaven's healing, you know, the nature and the culture of heaven to the people in this world, because we belong to that kingdom. We are no more of this kingdom or the kingdom in this world. We belong to the kingdom of God. And therefore, when he says we need to colonize earth, that is what he means. Bring the influence of heaven on earth. Amen? Amen? So that is what we've been called to do. That is part of the family business that we are caught up in. So if you are here today, I just want to encourage you that you've been entrusted with a gift. We belong to a kingdom. We belong to a family that we've been given gifts to actually work and advance the kingdom work on earth here. Do you have a gift? Do you have a gift? You know, as humans, we often think of ourselves as, we don't have much to offer, especially in the church. Sometimes some people look down on themselves in the church, thinking that, you know, I don't have much to offer. As humans, sometimes we are our own worst critics. Even Moses, when the Lord came to him and said to him, go to Egypt and set my people free, you know, what did Moses say to him? This is what Moses said to the Lord. He said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? He didn't say, who am I, like, as in awe of what the Lord has said. He says, there's no way I'm going there. I'm not that sort of person. He gave lots of excuses. But actually, Moses was a great leader. In him, the Lord has deposited the gift of leading. But he didn't know that of himself. So sometimes we have gifts and we don't know that. We often look down on the gifts that the Lord has actually given to us. Or we don't think that it is something that is worthwhile to actually use in the church. And we'll talk more about this gift. But let me just share a quick testimony with you. You know, I came to faith when I was 14. And when I came to faith, I was doing, you know, I started preaching in school and stuff until I moved here in the UK when I was 15. And at that time, I found it challenging because it wasn't the same. You know, in Ghana, you could preach in school, you can do all of that. But here, it was like the church and the school were separated. And for a number of years, I backslid. Okay, when I was about the age of 21, you know, I was drinking, I was clubbing, I was doing all the things that, you know, was usual for a young person. And I went to church one Sunday, and the youth leader said, guys, we have a youth Sunday. Okay, when we say a youth Sunday, it means that the youth will run the show in terms of welcoming people, in terms of preaching, in terms of, like, worship. They will lead everything in the main service, okay? And that was what they said. And they asked me, Chris, would like you to preach? My friends were laughing at me. They're like, surely not, Chris. We know you can dance in the club. We know you can do all of those things, but not preaching, you know? So that was what it was. And talk about a confidence booster, you know? It was. I felt like, okay, all right. But I just felt inadequate to do that. But I thought to myself, okay, if I've been asked to do that, then sure, let me just do it. The day came on Sunday, and I saw lots of people in the church. Young guys who never came to church were there to just see Chris mess up so they can laugh at me. You know? And I turned up, and I was there. And when they did the worship and everything, the time came to preach, and they said, can we have Chris come up to share the message? I was shaking. You know, I was shaking, and my friend got my Bible and took me up. And I stood in front and I preached. I shared the word of God that day. When I finished, the pastor came to me and told me that, Chris, it's obvious the Lord has got his hand on you. You know, so it's something that you need to think about. The worship leader came to me and told me that, Chris, you have a gift to be sharing the word of God, but you need to be reading your Bible every day so you grow in your understanding. When I left that service, I felt really encouraged by it. But more so, I went back to the club and I was clubbing and stuff. And my friend saw me in the club. And when he saw me, he's like, Pastor Chris, what are you doing here? So instantly, I felt like, okay, here I am preaching the message. Look at what I'm doing. And that started the whole process of restoration in my life. It started bringing me closer to the Lord. I started getting deeper in the Lord. I was given the responsibility of doing the sound. You know, what Johan does. That was what I was doing. So it gave me a reason to actually come to church. And through that, it nurtured me to where I am. What I'm trying to say here is that it was a pivotal moment of restoration in my life, but I did not know it then. At that time, I felt inadequate as well, as my friends laughed at me. But this was something that we all have. We all have a gift, and we need to use it and nurture it for the glory of God. So you have been entrusted with something that you need to use as well. Now let's come to scripture. I've spoken a lot about this. Keep that there. It says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. This is 1 Corinthians 12, 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Note, the apostle did not claim that the manifestation of the Spirit is only for some, or is only working in some. He said, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. That implies that you have a gift. You have been given a gift. The Holy Spirit works in you as well. He's entrusted you with something. He has given you something that you are meant to be using in the church or to further the family business, the kingdom work. You have been given something. So although maybe you may not know it, although maybe you don't know what it looks like or what it would look like, be entrusted. You are entrusted with something. Be encouraged by it on this day. Now let's go back to scripture. Romans 12, 3-8. This is the ESV. I don't know if you can read it from there. Yes, you can. This is what it says. It says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. This is it. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to your faith. If service, in your serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exalts, in his exaltation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Note, the apostle said, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Meaning we all have gifts that differ. I stand here, I share the word of God. You probably don't have the gift to preach the word of God, but you have something I don't have. It differs. He says, let us use them. And one thing I also like you to notice that when he said having gifts, he went on to mention what some of these gifts are. And some of them would look unusual to you because he's talking about a spiritual gift. But let's see this. He mentioned seven. Seven. Having gifts. And these are spiritual gifts that he's talking about. Seven. So although it doesn't look like a spiritual gift, it's spiritually empowered. It is spiritually empowered. Do you know of people in the church who come to faith in Christ, and after they've come to faith, you just see them involved in everything? They're involved on the sound, they're involved in outreach, they're involved in youth work, they're involved in everything in the church. They just want to serve. They may not necessarily lead anything, but they're just helping all the departments function. They're just helping lots of the departments function. It is a gift. We all don't feel that way, although we've all been called to serve. But you have some people that have this gift, they just can't help themselves but get involved. Sometimes their gift is not something that they even desire to come in front, to be seen by anyone. They work behind the scenes. They enjoy that. It is a gift in the church. Use it for the glory of God. I'll give you an example of this lady I know. This lady I know, she has special needs. So in terms of her communication, it wasn't great. She couldn't really interact with people. But every time she came to church, she always went straight to the kitchen doing tea and coffee. You saw her in the kitchen doing tea and coffee. You saw her serving tea and coffee. If there was a cup that the kids had left around, this lady went picking it. No one asked her to do it. No one. If anything was there, like mopping or something, she was mopping it. The day she is not in church, You would know she's not in church. You would know. But no one asked her to do it. It's a gift that she has. And she just feels like giving it to the church. It's a spiritual gift empowered by the Lord, but it is to serve. It is to serve. If you have that gift, get involved. Use it. Amen? You have acts of mercy. Next slide. Acts of mercy. Do you know of anyone in the church that is also moved with such compassion that sometimes it feels like they make other people's struggles their own struggles? Have you met those sort of people? It's a gift in the church. You have people that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, so stirs them that they have the compassion of God. When they see someone struggling, when they see the homeless, when they see the poor, they're so moved to help them. Don't get me wrong. We have all been called to do that. But you have some people with this particular gift where they just can't help themselves but actually get in and show compassion. You have people that, like, you know, when anyone calls them to say that I'm in trouble, they just leave straight away. They're there. We all have to do that. But some people are so stirred by the Holy Spirit to do this. It is a gift in the church so that the church can be able to reach out to those suffering, those in the world, those who are in need. We need these people in the church, and they are here. Use your gift. Giving. Next slide. Giving. The apostle mentioned generous givers, people who give generously. And in this form of giving, he talked about contribution. This is not the giving as in giving of your strength, because he's already spoken about serving. He's talking about people that give financially to support the work of the church. These are the people that actually, they don't necessarily have much. Some of the people with this gift, it's not that they have a lot, so they give a lot. Some don't actually have a lot, but they just so moved by the Holy Spirit that they are so generous in giving to fund the kingdom work. And we have that in the church. The Lord has blessed people in that way, and he's given people that gift to be able to use it to help fund activities in the church. To help fund activities in the church. So we have people in the church that give sacrificially. And although we've all been called to give, you have people that are very, very generous, because that is what the Lord has placed within them. That is the gift they have, to be able to fund the expansion of the kingdom, to be able to fund the work of the church, to reach out to people, to, for example, build a church building. You need people who can give. And the Lord stirs people to be sacrificial in that way, to give for his work. I'll give you another example. There was a lady that I knew in one of the churches I was in. She was one of the highest givers in the church, but no one knew it. You would never know. If you didn't work for the church, you would never know it. You'd find this lady serving in the kitchen. You'd find her, she's got a gift of prayer as well. You'd find her laying her hands on people, praying for them. You would never know. In a year, she gave about $7,500 to the church, so that the church can pay its bills, electricity, heating, all of these things, so that when the church does outreach and stuff like that, the church can be able to print off flyers and all of these. We were able to help another church in Congo because their building collapsed and they were worshiping in a place without a roof. Because of this woman's generosity, she had that gift. She gave so generously to the church. We were able to do that. And it's not just because of her. It's because of the generous giving of everyone as well. But that was her gift. And it was so hidden, you would never know it. Because she gets in. She serves in such a way that you would never think that that was what she had. But that is also a gift in the church. People who give generously. The reason why I pointed these three out is for you to know that it is a gift. It is a gift in the church. It is not only prophecy, speaking in tongues, and all of these. These are also gifts in the church. And we can talk a lot more about other things. But let's come to prophecy now. There are people with the gift that the Lord reveals things to them, sometimes in pictures. Sometimes the Lord tells them a word. Sometimes the Lord gives them a word about, you know, maybe your past, something hidden in the past. And they say, this is what the Lord says. And it's like, whoa. Sometimes present, what you're going through. Sometimes in the future, just telling you exactly what the Lord is saying to you. And you have people with that gift in the church. In the church. I remember when I was younger, my dad told me that a man, like there was a prophecy that came in. It was that I'll be a pastor. I'll be someone serving in the church. This was when I was young. And when he started seeing that the Lord was gradually stirring me to the church, he was reluctant about it. But that was a reminder for him that that was what had been said already. So although he was a bit reluctant about the whole situation, he wanted me to get a job, you know, where I had, you know, I was making money and all of that. And he saw that as I was working and all of that in terms of my education and my qualification, he wanted me to pursue that. But that word was a reminder for him that, listen, this is what was said. So he encouraged me reluctantly, but he encouraged me anyway to pursue it. And the other was when I was in Kenya. There was a time we had a youth. It was a youth. It was the university had a time where they came and they worshipped in a church. And during that time, it was an amazing evening. It was a whole evening where the youth actually worshipped. And they prayed for each other. They preached. And a young man preached so powerfully, and he called everyone to come forward for prayer. And when I came forward, he does not know me. I'm not part of the youth. He put his hand on my head and was just praying, and he spoke into my life. What he said was, he said, you would feed the poor. You'd feed those who are poor. That was what he said to me. He does not know that that was what I was doing in Kenya. I was working with a development organization. But more specifically, he said, you will feed the poor. A few years later, I found myself in Niger helping, working on a humanitarian project to feed refugees, to feed people affected by famine and drought. And I thought to myself, God, this is amazing. But before I went to Niger, I was reluctant about it. But I thought to myself, if I've been called to do this for the poor, then I have to go there and serve. And it was the right decision for me. And in church, we have people with that gift in the church. And you need to use it in the body of Christ. Let's move on. Healing. We have people with the gift of healing. You know, and this is a gift that as a church, we can actually pray for someone to receive healing and they will receive it. But one thing I also know is that God is sovereign. He makes his own decision. So, but we trust in him that because we are his children, when we pray for people who are not well, we trust that the Lord will hear his children and answer. But sometimes he does his own will and we don't understand why. But they've got some people with the gift of healing that more often when they lay their hands on people and pray for healing, those people receive healing. Those people receive healing. We all don't have it, but some people here have it and you just don't know it. We have it and you just don't know it. It's not me. I don't think I've got that gift of healing. But I can trust in the Lord that when I pray for someone for healing, that he would hear me. But you got some that it is their gift. When you tell them to preach, they probably won't be able to. They don't know where to start. But when you tell them pray for someone who is not well, when they lay their hands and they pray, the Lord honors it, and the Lord heals that person. And it is a gift in the body of Christ. We've got worship. Worship. This is not part of the gifts that the apostle mentioned. It's not part of the gifts. But I believe that it is a gift that has been given in the church. You find some people that have got, you know, praise God for Joy and Neville, who do a great job in leading and worshiping in the church. Praise God for that. You know, I know some people that when you give them the mic and they stand and they lead in the worship, the Holy Spirit just moves in the church. You just feel it. They are not preaching, but you see people who are backslidden on their knees repenting. They're not preaching. They're just worshiping through songs. You'd see people prophesying because the Holy Spirit is present. They got people with that gift in the church. Do we have some of them here? Yes, we do. Use your gift for the glory of God. Use it to expand the family business that we have been called to do. Next. Are some gifts better or more important than others? Are some gifts better or more important than others? Is preaching better than helping? Is mercy ministry better than evangelism? Is the one who contributes but probably does not get so involved better than the administrator? Actually, let me just also point that in Corinthians, the apostle mentioned administration and helping. Okay? That's a gift as well, so we know that. Is it better than that? The answer is no. Why do I say no? Why do I say no? In explaining the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12:12-31, don't move on. No, don't move on. 1 Corinthians 12:12-31, I haven't actually placed it here because it's a long passage. So I just want to just summarize it here for you. The apostle said that everyone baptized, right? Everyone who came to Christ, everyone baptized, we were all baptized and we're given a gift and we're baptized into the body of Christ. We're baptized into the body of Christ to function like an organ or a limb in the body. Do you sort of get it? Baptized into the body to function like an organ or a limb in the body. In the human body, we have every part functioning properly. Okay? We have, you can't say the hand is better than the foot. You can't say your fingers are better than others. It's all part of the body. It's because you have all of these, that is what makes the body whole. What the apostle is saying here is that in the body of Christ, in the church, we need the evangelist. Let's say we're talking about the human body. That's why I've got it there. That's the body of Christ. So we need the evangelists. Yeah, we need the preachers. We need the children's workers. Okay? We need the youth workers. We need those who serve. We need all of these gifts functioning together as a body, in the body of Christ. So you have a gift, I have a gift, but we need to use it so that the body can function together. Amen? The apostle also goes on and he says that, for example, if the church is only made up of me, or let's say the preacher, who would I be preaching to? Who would I be preaching to? If we're all pastors and preachers, who would we be preaching to? If we're all people who serve tea and coffee, who would we be serving to? Who would enjoy what we do? That was what the apostle was saying. He said that if we were all people who just served without people who gave generously, how would we be able to do the great projects to advance the kingdom of God? We need each other to be able to function together as a body in Christ. So what the apostle is saying is that you have a gift, and your gift is like a jigsaw puzzle that, you know, you without you, it's incomplete. Amen? Without you, it's incomplete. The body is incomplete. You belong to the body of Christ. You have been entrusted with something. I see it like in the modern day, I see it like a football team. It's like when you came to Christ and you got saved and you got baptized, he said, okay, there he is. You got the gift of a striker. Go and be a striker. You got the gift of a winger. Go. You got a gift of a midfielder. Go. You got a gift of a goalkeeper, a gift of a defender. If the team was made up of all of that and you were lacking a striker, you're missing something. Even Cristiano Ronaldo, if he is the only person in the team will lose. Because he can score at the same time and go and defend and catch the ball at the same time. He can't do that by himself. You need everyone in it. He can't even score without someone giving him a pass. You need people to do that. And that is what we have been called to do as a church, to function in the body of Christ. So you need me, I need you. We need to work together as a body. But what have you been entrusted with? What gifts do you have? Use it to the glory of God. I'll give you an example, and let's see how this process works. Okay? Let's say we have one who has been given a gift of mercy, all right? The acts of mercy. So you got the one with the gift of acts of mercy and the evangelist walking together. They went out for a cup of tea. When they were walking, the one with the gift of acts of mercy saw a homeless person, was so moved with compassion, went to the homeless person, started, do you want a cup of tea or something? And they gave them that. The evangelist came over. The evangelist ministered to them, shared the word of God with them, and gave them a tract to say that, you know what, this is where we meet. Come to church. They came in on Sunday. They met the one who welcomes at the door with a smile on their face, shaking their hands and saying, come on in. They came into the service. They realized that this place was very, very clean. Someone has done something. They saw people setting up. Great. Something is happening. During the time of worship, they had an engagement in the worship. The person with the gift of worshiping was leading. They felt God's presence here. As they felt God's presence, someone with the gift of prophecy, being in the presence of the Holy Spirit, prophesied, gave a word. That soul touched them that they knew it was a word for them. They were encouraged by it. It came to the time of preaching. The preacher preached a wonderful word and pointed to Christ and said that this is who he is. That is the Savior. That is the Redeemer. That is the King. He is the one you need to put your trust in. And they now know where they need to go. After the service, it was a time for reflection. They had a time to reflect on the word. After that, they had a time for ministry, a time for prayer. The pastor wasn't involved. The preacher wasn't involved. The church, people with the gift of intercessory, came forward and prayed with that person. The person left encouraged. They gave their life to the Lord. After that is done, they went out for tea and coffee. Someone served them tea and coffee. Someone also stood by them and also had a conversation with them. And the person told them that, listen, if you want a job, I know this job that is going on here. Get this number. Come. I tell you, that person would leave encouraged. That person would leave blessed. That is what the church is about. It's not one person here. It's the whole church. I wasn't the one who impacted them. David was not the only one that impacted them. The whole church blessed them. And that is what we've been called to do, to be outward looking, to see ourselves as a body, to use our gifts, to expand the kingdom work, and to reach out to people. Be about the family business. Amen? Amen. Finally, the gospel. Ultimately, all these gifts are for the glory of God. We've been given this gift for the glory of God. That's what we've been given the gifts for. All the gifts are meant to point others to Christ. That's what the gifts are there for. It is because of his death and resurrection that we are forgiven of our sins and reconciled to God. It is because of Christ's death and resurrection we have such privilege of being adopted as children of God. In him alone, do we have the right to be part of this family business in Christ alone? Do we have that right to be part of it? You may come to him broken, but he will heal you and transform you. You may come to him without hope, but he'll give you a hope and a purpose to be part of a kingdom ministry. Amen? You see, in Christ alone do we have this gift. In Christ alone do we have this opportunity and privilege to be part of this family business. In him alone is the homeless addict made a prophet to the nations, and that is a true story. In Christ alone is the child who was involved in gangs made a youth worker and an evangelist. It's a true story. In him alone do we have these. In him alone, that's the one who feels they don't have the purpose or the ability or the vision to live or see what they can do with their life. They have a vision in Christ to be part of a kingdom work. In Christ alone do we have that. It is a privilege to be called a child of God. In Christ alone can we transform this earth and invade it with heaven's presence through Christ alone, through him alone. Can we do that as a church? You are that church. I am that church. We are part of this body. Let us be about the family business. Let us be outward looking, not inward looking. The gifts that the Lord has given to us is to serve each other and also to be outward looking so that we can reach people and transform lives in this world. With every eyes closed and every head bowed, I just want us to reflect on this word on this day. Please just spend some time reflecting on it. What gift have you been entrusted with? Maybe you probably don't even know the gift that you have in the Lord, but today we have found out that everyone who comes to Christ have been given a gift. What is your gift? If you don't know, ask the Lord about it. Maybe it is a time for you to repent as well. Maybe you've been entrusted with something and you are not using it for the glory of God. Today, what is that gift that you've been entrusted with? Use it for the glory of God. Just spend some time in prayer thinking about that. And today, we've also shared a message about how we work together as a body in Christ. What part do you play in the body? What part do you play in the body? How can you get involved in the body? Reflect on that today and bring it to the Lord. Let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we worship you in this place. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for absolutely everything that you have done for us. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord God Almighty, for your love and your kindness. We thank you so much, O Lord Jesus, that you have called us and you have entrusted to us a gift to be able to reach out to the world. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus. And today we lift up our hands saying, use us, O Lord God. Lord, for those here who do not know this gift that, Lord, you may have given to them, Father, I ask of you, O Lord God, that you would reveal it to them by the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, I pray in your name, and I ask of you, release the gift of prophecy in this place. Release the gift of helping, the gift, O Lord God, of administration, the gift of giving generously, O Lord, in this place. We pray and we ask of you, release the gift of speaking in tongues in this place. We ask of you, release the gift of faith in this place. We pray. Come and stir your church up. Help us function together, O Lord, to build and to expand the kingdom that you have called us into. Lord, reach out, colonize this earth, bring heaven's influence, heaven's peace, O Lord, through your people, in wherever that we live, in our workplaces, because we are children of the Most High God. Have your way in this place. And Father, I just pray and I ask of you that those who do not know what you have entrusted to them, Lord Jesus, reveal it to them, even as I pray now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.